You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. We're talking about how Wisconsin restaurants are hanging on during this global pandemic. At least 106 people have tested positive in Wisconsin for COVID-19 as of yesterday. And this week, Governor Evers ordered a statewide ban on all gatherings of more than 10 people and closed all bars and restaurants except for delivery and pickup. So how is your favorite restaurant doing? How are you supporting them? Are you a restaurant worker who's been laid off or had your hours drastically cut? How are you handling this difficult time? We're at 800-642-1234. Luke Zahm is a James Beard-nominated chef and owner of the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. He's the host of Wisconsin Foodie, which airs on PBS Wisconsin. Luke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having us.
How is Driftless Cafe doing? How are you holding up?
The cafe is, we're all healthy, first and foremost. I think that's important to say. But earlier this week, we made the hard decision after consulting with our staff and really trying to understand the information that we had presented to us at the time, to actually close the doors of the cafe until we receive notification from federal, state, and local agencies that it's safe to reopen them. We felt, given the cash position that we were in, coming through the wintertime, which is always the leanest time for Wisconsin restaurants, that first quarter is always tough, that we weren't in a position to try and string ourselves along. And it was difficult. So we asked our employees to file for unemployment, which is heartbreaking. We have 64 employees on the payroll. And, I think that there's a lot of feelings. I think first and foremost, there's heartbreak because we definitely pride ourselves on being a focal point of community and gathering and sustenance and love for the people around us and for the dining community at large. And this is the first time I think Ruthie and I have felt in our lives that we weren't able to reach out and help in a way that felt meaningful. But to be fair, we also felt like the community that we serve here in a population of 4,362 in Viroqua, it was the responsible thing to do. It was the right thing to do. We couldn't have dealt with the feelings of making people sick if indeed we accidentally did that and transmitting the virus. We knew that that wasn't a good situation for us to be in emotionally. So our staff, they came in yesterday. We cut the paychecks and all the perishable food that we had in the cafe. We set it out so they could take it home. It's some of the best food in the entire United States. We have the best network of farmers that we pull these sources from. So our employees left, with full pockets and hopefully with something that they can feed their families with for the time being.
You talked with the governor yesterday and Missy Hughes, who leads the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. What did they tell you?
I think everyone is still trying to sift and winnow through information, Kate. It's really, really difficult. As this virus progresses and changes, we're all looking for something substantive to hold on to. And I definitely felt from that meeting, Missy Hughes and the governor are working so hard to put together some packages that help small businesses. The first package that's being introduced is a package with $5 million in aid that would help businesses with under 20 employees and gets, just working capital, basically. Money for when we get through this, which we will, and we go to reopen our doors. Restaurants specifically need money to operate. So that is definitely on their priority list. They are acutely aware of the people who are actually being out of work. And Secretary Caleb Frostman was on the call as well. He handles
We spoke to him yesterday, Secretary Frostman, with Workforce Development. I just want to pause here. We're talking with Luke Zahm, the owner and chef at Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, which has closed right now due to COVID-19. Luke is also the host of Wisconsin Foodie on PBS Wisconsin. Do you work at a restaurant? How is your livelihood being affected by the coronavirus pandemic? How much has your customer volume changed? Are you making tough decisions right now? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Luke, one of the things that's been floated for restaurants right now is mortgage abatement, rent abatement, to try to help these restaurants from not folding completely, not going bankrupt. What types of measures like that might be beneficial?
Sure. Mortgage abatement, rent abatement are two huge ones. I think also like the suspension or even the partial reduction of payroll taxes by the state and federal government, that is huge because that adds up very quickly. I think the other, some of the other ones that I've seen are the suspension of credit card processing fees right now. That affects all of us in the industry, and that is a huge chunk of money. But, other than that, it comes down to being able to support your restaurants locally. So gift card campaigns are humongous right now. And the one thing that I do absolutely want to plea, and we have been overwhelmed in our gift card sales over the last few days, which is amazing. But for the diners who want to come and experience their favorite restaurant, it's going to be imperative that you pace the utilization of those gift cards, and maybe not in the first couple weeks that those businesses reopen. It's going to be crucially important that there's cash in the facility to make sure that we can make payroll, to make sure that we can buy food, to make sure that we can support local farmers. And we worry a little bit about this huge knee-jerk reaction to buy, 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 and then redeem so quickly. And as much as we want to see you there and, make those gift certificates good, I want to see my colleagues in the restaurant industry be able to cash flow their businesses as well.
Because there's that trickle-down effect as well, the cash you need up front in order to restart all of those engines of the business.
Yeah. To start a 100-seat restaurant, to really kick it and get it going, it takes about $20,000. To get people in the seats, to get people, to get food, to get the beverages, to get all those things that, you kind of take for granted when you walk into a business. For 100 seats to get that, consistently moving, it takes that much money to kind of lubricate it and push it forward. Some restaurateurs do it differently. Some of them probably do it better. But for us, we know that that's the metric we need to hit.
Yeah, and so you're looking for, even though that people are buying gift cards, don't redeem them right away when restaurants reopen. So a really good tip there. We're talking with Luke Zahm. He's the host of Wisconsin Foodie on PBS Wisconsin. He's a restaurant owner in Viroqua, Driftless Cafe, which decided just this week to close for now due to COVID-19. What do you think of Governor Evers closing bars and limiting restaurant customers from dining in? Do you support the step as a measure to protect public health straight across Wisconsin, or do you think it goes too far? Are you cooking at home more often now because of the coronavirus outbreak? If you're a server, how are you doing? Do you have a job right now? Be part of this conversation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll pick up this conversation with Luke Zahm right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about restaurants and how they're doing in the face of COVID-19 here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The coronavirus pandemic, it's shuttered schools and universities, libraries, bars, restaurants, malls, so many other businesses throughout the state. The governor ordered a statewide ban this week on sit-down service at bars and restaurants. Do you enjoy eating out? How do you feel about the governor's steps to contain the COVID-19 spread? Will you switch to ordering takeout or deliveries, or will you be cooking more for yourself? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Luke Zahm, who's the owner and chef of Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, which has decided this week to close temporarily, and he stays with us. Let's take a call now. Michael is with us from East Troy. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
What's on your mind? Hi.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Kate. Hi, Luke.
Hey, hey.
I'm a server at the Grand Geneva Resort in Lake Geneva at the Chop House, and we're closed. So I just want to give a shout-out to all my family and coworkers in the industry saying that, man, this is rough.
Yeah.
This is rough. And don't know what to do.
I hear you. I hear you. You know, the one thing that we're trying to be active in, and of course, making sure that we observe some of the social distancing pieces. But brother, the thing that I can say to you is we are so good in our industry at making people feel seen and valued. And that's our job when people come into our places of hospitality. Just because we don't have that vehicle of service around us or that industry doesn't mean that we have to stop. So what I'm asking you and everyone that might be in our industry listening is find ways to make people feel seen and valued. Maybe it's sending a text out to the people that you love and know. Maybe it's reaching out to someone and giving them a phone call and just making sure if it's your favorite customer that they know that you're there still and that you value them on a level that they probably took for granted. I promise this is something that we all get through right now and that we all come out stronger on the other end.
Michael.
Nice, Luke.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. So, you know, and I've been cooking at home, Kate. Thank you.
What have you been making?
And, oh, I made a chuck roast yesterday.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hiking.
Oh, and I've been hiking. I've been going out to the Kettle Moraine. And just taking that 5 minutes to talk to the girl behind the counter and, you know, how you doing? How's it going? You know, just to make that little interaction it means the world. I mean, it means the world to you just to have that little FaceTime with someone.
Well, Michael, you stay well. Thank you for calling in. Luke, are you concerned that your incredible workers will be forced to find other jobs or you'll lose some great employees?
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, that was the really hard part yesterday. So sitting in the restaurant as people are picking up their checks and, you know, just knowing that some of them probably are not going to come back. Some of them, based on their life, are going to have to make other decisions. And to be fair, if I can rant for a second, the part that's the most frustrating is in an industry where we are one of the largest market sectors in the United States for employment, the fact that we can't provide affordable health care for a lot of employees and a lot of the people affected by this in the industry, it's not going to be a surprise when people decide, you know what, I'm going to use my time to do something that is treated or is valued at a higher level in our society. The fact that a lot of my employees a couple years ago, you know, we lost health care at the cafe because it became unaffordable and the business wasn't going to work. You know, we lost employees because of that. And I view this on the same level. People are going to make the decisions that are best for their families, that are best for their community, that are best for their lives. And that's just an unfortunate reality at this point.
We're talking with Luke Zahm, who is the owner of Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. He hosts Wisconsin Foodie here on PBS Wisconsin. You can join in with your situation, your questions, your anything. 800-642-1234. Tell us about your favorite restaurant and the connection you have to it. Are you a restaurant worker who's been laid off or your hours reduced? How are you handling this right now? Are you looking for new work? Are you seeking unemployment assistance? At what point are you at? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Luke, as you said earlier, restaurants run incredibly tight bottom lines. They're very thin margins. How feasible is it for restaurants that do close to open back up?
Yeah, Kate, I think that's a good question. And I think each style of service probably dictates a different level of feasibility. So if you're fast casual, one of my favorite restaurants in Madison, the Old Fashioned, being down on the square, like having that population base there, but knowing that you're going to need to do large volume amounts to get food out the door, that's kind of a juggernaut to know, how much food do we buy? How much labor do we invest in order to get this thing moving again? But if you are Lombardino's on Old University Avenue and you are, primarily fine dining and those ingredients are ridiculously expensive because they are the best ingredients in the world, that burden is a lot higher. The care and the love, those are the situations where it's really, really difficult. If Lombardino's loses two of their chefs because they find other alternative working arrangements, that means that the owners and the salaried employees that are there are going to be in the restaurant all the time. Mm. And for anyone in the hospitality industry listening, please use this time, albeit stressful, to practice self-care. This is the time where you learn about going for a walk, like Michael had stated. This is where you go outside and really try and fill yourself up. Because for those of us in the industry who are going to bounce back with this, it's going to be a situation where it's all hands on deck. We're all trying to make money to get ahead of the curve of losses. And I worry about the mental health of my colleagues in the industry because we are going to be pushing. So use this time the best you can to get outside and breathe.
Let's take Diane now in Partyville with thoughts on this. Diane, hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Diane.
Yes. On your comments, I run a pretty good little bar and grill in Partyville, Wisconsin. And, like they commented on earlier, you're used to being there for the community, whatever calamity there is. It's a gathering place for people to talk. But the hard thing I'm going through right now is we did basically curbside on St. Paddy's Day. And my community really supported us in that. We took 2 days off after St. Paddy's Day, have employee meetings, talk about the impact, talk about who is willing to step back, try to keep my two full-time single mother girls in a job at least. And so we wanted to do curbside like Friday and Saturday. And then in my business, my restaurant business, we're known to shut down our establishment every year for a week after Easter. And then we totally cleanse the place, take apart coolers, put them back together, blah, 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 blah. So this year what we wanted to do was do curbside Friday and Saturday. Then we go into our shutdown, and we're going into a 14-day shutdown.
Oh.
And I pay my employees to come in and clean and do whatever. But I'm torn right now, even if that's the right thing to do,
Yeah, I can say honestly, and first and foremost, I want to say that I can hear the concern in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
For the people that work for you. You are definitely that community rallying point, and I hear you. The thing that we looked at in our business is when we would switch to doing curbside or takeout, that labor metric, how much of this do we have to sell in order to make this work? And I think as owners sometimes there's that feeling like, I am going to take this on, I am going to to do this, but for my business, I can say it ended up that it was better that we got our employees into the unemployment office queue early as opposed to reacting later. And that was based on the recommendation of Secretary Frostman from the Department of Workforce Development to get people into the system. They're waiving the 1 week where you have to go out and look for other employment. They're making those concessions right now so that way employees can be taken care of immediately. And if you decide that, you know, staying open for curbside is it works in your business model, that's great. It's the time to be really proactive on social media about the fact that you are open. I know the Wisconsin Restaurant Association and other Wisconsin agencies are putting out notifications that let people know what restaurants are currently open and available for this type of opportunity.
Tough decisions there, Diane. Thank you so much for sharing, for calling in. We have Luke Zahm with us. He owns the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, hosts Wisconsin Foodie on PBS Wisconsin. Your situation, your thoughts right now on restaurants, 800-642-1234. We'll be back with this after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a heads up on our programming plans. The White House is holding a coronavirus task force briefing this morning with updates on efforts to contain the spread of the virus, including steps the Food and Drug Administration is taking in response to the crisis. We will bring you that live NPR coverage starting at 10 this morning on the Ideas Network and online at WPR.org. Right now, we're talking about the fate of restaurants as the spread of COVID-19 intensifies. A group of more than 40 bars and restaurants have banded together, writing a letter to state legislative leaders asking for more financial help for restaurants and bars to bounce back from the pandemic. Among other things, they're asking for emergency unemployment benefits for all restaurant workers and rent and mortgage abatement. Are you a restaurant worker who's been laid off? How are you handling this time? Are you looking for new work? Are you seeking unemployment assistance? Where are you at right now? Join in 800-642-1234. Luke Zahm is a James Beard-nominated chef and owner of the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, and he's also the host of Wisconsin Foodie. He stays with us. Let's take another call now. Dale is with us from Eau Claire this morning. Hi, Dale.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just kind of make a point and maybe a couple ideas. You know, some of these restaurant entrepreneurs can help us out. I'm a truck driver. With all the restaurants closed, it's hard to find a place to get some food. A lot of your drive-up restaurants, their lobbies are closed and they don't allow walk-ups. They still want to serve, come up with a way to go to a truck stop, help truckers out, get them some food. We would really appreciate it. And as far as employment, there's a lot of truck driving positions available right now, and I think in the driving industry we need people more than ever to keep supplies moving. There's an opportunity for some people to go to work. There's a lady here in Eau Claire out here by McDonald's. They got truck parking there, and she sees truck drivers roll in. She offers to drive up through the drive up so they can get some food.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Luke. I mean, it's those little things that we don't even think about that you know, the truck drivers can't get access to food on the road.
Yeah, this is first and foremost, Dale. I want to thank you for you know, going to work still and, you know, keeping the products and goods moving in America. I do think that this is the awakening, I think, for a lot of people, that the people in the service industry are the ones who are making sure that your grocery store shelves are stocked, that these goods keep moving through the country and get to your shelves so that way we have access to them. These are the real modern-day heroes. These are people doing this work every day. So like I implored earlier, using that hospitality background, finding ways to make people feel seen and comfortable, that's what we do. So to the food service workers or the people from the hospitality industry, you know, when you're mourning the loss of what feels like your entire world right now, understand that you still have the capacity to help. And there are opportunities all around us for that type of action.
Luke, as we look at supply chains and truck driving there, what effect is the shutdown having on the small farms that supply many of our state's restaurants?
It's astronomical. And I was speaking with my banker yesterday and asking him about, like, have you seen a lot of farmers come in yet? And he replied, no, because that's not the first wave. And I think that that's kind of the reality of this situation. You know, the people that are immediately out of work, a.k.a. the restaurant, food service, hospitality industry, we're going to be the first wave of people, like, really displaced by the COVID. But as this progresses, the farmers are going to come into an era of hardship as well. I know that there are a few. Garden to Be, the Landmark Creamery in Paola, Wisconsin, they're basically offering delivery services for their cheese and the vegetables that they're growing. But more than anything, I would say if you have an interest in local food, check out the Fair Share CSA Coalition, because this is a time where you can put that money into a small farm and buy a vegetable share, a meat share, whatever it may be, and really, really, really impacts that bottom line of that farmer, that keeps them on their land, that keeps them farming, that keeps this country moving. That is priority number one. And later today, the cafe is going to be releasing its list of purveyors and sources. So if there was something that you came into the cafe that you loved and you want to know where we picked it up from, you have that opportunity to reach out to that farm and see if you can't procure those ingredients as well. Because we need to keep people on the land.
Going directly to the source, yeah. I'm wondering, when you look at all of your food supplies, and not just from the farm to the table, how easy or difficult is it to talk to your suppliers and say, we're done, we can't order any more right now, we can hold off? Is that a simple call, or is that more complicated?
Oh, it's totally more complicated. I mean, these farmers, the cafe was and is set up. It's actually not about myself or Mary Kassman as the chef. It is, but it's really about the over 200 certified organic farmers that we have in Vernon County. It's a spotlight to put on them, and it's heartbreaking to call them and tell them, like, hey, we have to shut down. We can't be open. We can't take this risk. We can't take this liability because it affects you in the long term. I think the short-term conversation to have is, like, I don't know if I can pay you initially for the ingredients that I would purchase because I have no idea what the certainty of the business looks like right now. But I think a lot of them, obviously, are concerned. Everyone understands that this is something that's affecting us globally, not just in regions. And everyone has been as understanding as everyone can be at this point in time.
We're talking with Luke Zahm, the host of Wisconsin Foodie, which airs on PBS Wisconsin, looking at the state of restaurants here across Wisconsin as we see bars and restaurants close. You can join in with your situation, your ideas, your comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Luke, for many people now, they're suddenly forced to cook a lot more food than, we're used to. What suggestions do you have for things that people should have on hand in their pantry during this pandemic?
Yeah, that's a good question. First and foremost, welcome to my world. I wash your hands. I have to say that one of the things that it's kind of comical, if there's some levity to be had in this situation, is when we go out and we do speaking engagements and my wife Ruthie comes with, people are always like, oh my gosh, what's it like to be married to a chef? And in reality, it's horrible because I'm never here. I'm always traveling or, at the restaurant. So for me, one of the things that's become absolutely a hallmark of my cooking at home because it's quick and it's easy is the Instapot. I don't know. Did you ever jump on that
You
that
are
wave?
An Instapod devotee, I understand.
Yes, I thought you were going to say diva, and I was like, well, I don't know. Sure, I'll be an Instapod diva. I love my Instapot, and the reason that I love it is it takes ingredients that have long cooking times, and it hastens them because it uses pressurized cooking, like you know your grandma did with the pressure cookers.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of dried beans in our house. You know, a really good baseline are those white beans or the northern beans. They get really creamy. If you put them in the Instapot, you don't need to pre-soak them. If you don't have access to the Instapot. Right now, like, we have some beans that we soak overnight, and that allows the skins to kind of hydrate a little bit and loosen up so we can cook it slow and low with no salt in the water, and that's really important. You can't put salt in that water when you're cooking beans or legumes like that because it'll split the skins and you'll have, you know, bean paste before you know what's up.
Hmm. Well, so yeah. So you're using that Instapot and kind of the beans would be a good staple for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take Mary in La Crosse. Mary, hi.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering if you have a website that you would be posting that list that you talked about where we could go buy things from some of the places that you have bought things from, and a list of, I think in the food co-op there's a list of the CSA people, but will you be posting a list of those also where we can go buy from the farmers?
Yes, absolutely, Mary. First and foremost, thanks for that question. That's awesome. Secondarily, you can look for it this afternoon on the restaurant website, driftlesscafe.com. And the Fair Share CSA Coalition, that's a Madison-based organization that collects information about community-supported agriculture opportunities all over the state. And I think that's Fair Share, F-A-I-R-S-H-A-R-E. That can be accessed via the internet as well.
And we'll get these links on our site as well, Mary, at wpr.org/mornings. You can find all the related links that we're talking about there as well, wpr.org/mornings. So, Mary, thanks so much. We heard from Jill called in from Westby, couldn't stay with us, but is suggesting putting soup kitchens in place. This could help put restaurant workers back to work. Jill says we need to still buy nutritious foods to help our farmers. And Jill, thank you so much for that suggestion. We're getting suggestions from all over, questions as well, as we talk about eating in, food pickup, delivery, and how restaurants are doing right now with Luke Zahm. He's getting a sense from as to how restaurants are getting by in this difficult time. So what tips do you have for stocking up pantries with essential ingredients and spices? What non-perishable foods would you recommend people have on hand just in case? What are you cooking right now? What are you cooking to stay comforted? Still time for you. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a moment with Luke Zahm right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The coronavirus is changing how we live. It's changing how we eat. Meal times, they arrive 3 times a day. So how do you feed yourself and your family when restaurants are shuttered and store shelves are depleted? How do you take care of your community in crisis when meals like Friday fish fries and pancake breakfast and even hot dishes for new parents that are off limits? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Luke Zahm owns Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, and he stays with us. Let's take another call now. Let's go to Eric in Madison. Oh, Eric in Madison is not there, but Eric works at a food facility supplying farmers with feed, and said closing of restaurants and bars is just part of it. Droves of chicken facility. He said he drove through a chicken facility. The parking lot is packed. One person goes in there and infects more employees. And so, Eric, very concerned about spreading COVID-19 in many different types of facilities, and that there is that risk. And, Luke, you looked at that risk this week and said, you know, we can't do this anymore. It would harm the community.
Yeah. I mean, for us, because we are so connected to our community, it just didn't balance out. I mean, I know that I have the privilege of saying that when financially this comes around, we will be able to figure out ways to open the doors back up again. But emotionally, making others sick around us, that's the absolute antithesis of the goal of the restaurant, which is to fortify our community and make it stronger. So we knew that this was kind of something that we had to do, because it was just, it aligned with our morals.
Grant sent us an email and says, this is the perfect time to bake bread. Eat some fresh and freeze the rest. Bread freezes well. Kathy also sent an email and mentioned bread. Kathy said, it only requires a few simple ingredients. You just knead and knead. What's better than the house smelling like a bakery?
Right? I can't think of too many things. The other thing, too, that, like, we're doing here is we are kind of going through cookbooks and looking, you know, try and cook a Julia Child cookbook start to finish. I know that people kind of laugh about that, but, like, it's something to do. I mean, that lady knew how to cook. And in our house right now, we're going through Vivian Howard's Deep Run Roots and finding recipes there that we can adapt and modify to ingredients that we have on hand. I'm being pretty staunch and firm about not having to go to the store to get, you know, accessory ingredients to support something. But that's how you learn in this, you know, making that modification to suit what you have and the palates that you have in the house.
And there's, with time and with time on hand, there is room for more creativity, more time to reflect on, I suppose, these recipes and what you're trying to create.
Exactly. And more time for my kids to pontificate on why they don't like them, you know? And that's okay, too. I tell you, like, it's getting Lord of the Fliesy over here.
You're telling me. You know, so how do we, you know, cook as a group right now and think about getting kids incorporated in some of these kitchen tasks? They're all home from school. Their hands need to stay busy.
Yeah, we have an amazing family and consumer science department here in Viroqua. So my kids are acutely familiar with what it means to be in the kitchen, also being around the restaurant quite a bit. And, yeah, they have to be involved in this process. I have one daughter who loves to bake, and so she has, you know, been experimenting with different recipes. My other sons, you know, they just want to be involved in the process. And then actively involved in the telling me why they don't like it process. You know, that participation, in my opinion, gives them the right to have an opinion when it comes dinner time. If they don't like it, well, at least you were part of creating it, and you can say that with honesty. And, you know, we all learn a little bit more about each other during the COVID-19 process.
Where do you find hope right now, Luke? You know, hope for your community, your family, yourself, your business. Where is hope right now?
That is a beautiful question. Where do I find hope? I find hope, Kate, in the fact that we are resilient. As a species, as humans, we are resilient. As frustrating as this is, we will find ways to overcome this, and we will endure. I find hope in the people that are reaching out to me, even people that I've never met before, to tell me that their heart hurts because this is something that affects them. And by having a restaurant and cooking them food, I've touched them in a way emotionally that resounds. And it goes deeper than just a business transaction. I find hope in people looking for ways to continue to serve the world around them with grace, with humility, with humanity. If it's providing food for Dale in a truck stop, there's a lady outside of McDonald's running and doing takeout orders. If it's Mary in La Crosse, if it's Mike in East Troy, all of these people right now have the capacity to affect change and positive change in the world around them. And I think it's time to kind of let go of some of those ego-driven, selfish motives and, like, really look and see how do you brighten someone's day in the world around you. We got to pay it forward right now.
Luke, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I mean, honestly, this is it's an amazing opportunity. I appreciate it.
Luke Zahm is a James Beard-nominated chef and owner of the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, and he's the host of Wisconsin Foodie. If you're struggling in the restaurant industry or would like to support your local restaurant, we have links to Driftless Cafe. We have a link to the Fair Share Coalition. Just go to WPR.org/mornings. After repeated victories in the Democratic primary for president, former Vice President Joe Biden is now the clear front runner over Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Biden is considered the moderate in the race, but as Rich Kramer reports, his policies and those of other national Democrats are to the left of Wisconsin's Democratic leaders.
At a recent meeting of the Dunn County Democratic Party, around 30 people gathered in the Menominee Public Library. They discussed how county party members can become delegates and help select the Democratic presidential nominee this July at the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee.
You get like 4 hours sleep, you work your ass off. It is a fascinating and powerful experience to do it. But
that's Lindsay Ketchell of the town of Otter Creek. She was a delegate in 2016 and a supporter of self-described Democratic Socialist Bernie Sanders. She thinks Sanders appeals to voters who want a bold change.
And what I think Bernie's really trying to do is just talk about real issues that are affecting real people every day. And these issues are mounting.
At the same meeting is Peter Hamm, a Joe Biden supporter. He thinks Sanders' proposals on nationalizing the U.S. healthcare system and free college for all students will push moderate Democrats away.
This is not going to happen. We've got a Senate that, you know, is so retrograde now and so Republican that they'll shoot anything down, even if you could get it through the House.
But Marquette University political science professor Julia Azari says those terms are relative. She says both would have been compared to mainstream Democrats 20 years ago.
You have a pretty strong and organized progressive wing of the National Democratic Party. So, you know, even if there's a more centrist wing, the National Party is still trending left.
By comparison, they're also more competitive than Wisconsin's Democratic standard bearer, Governor Tony Evers. Both Sanders and Biden have called for making some form of government-run health care available to everybody. They also both want some form of free tuition for college students. Contrast that with Evers. At a 2018 primary debate, Evers stood out among seven other candidates when the moderator asked about higher education.
And how many on this panel would support free tuition for in-state students to attend two-year colleges or technical schools? I see every hand except for Mr. Evers.
Part of the reason Evers won't move to the left is that he can't when Republicans run the legislature. He created task forces to study student loan debt and climate change, but neither step carried much weight. Robert Craig, with the progressive advocacy group Citizens Action Wisconsin, says Evers has ignored other campaign pledges made to his base. For example, when it comes to health care, Evers pledged to work toward a state-run health insurance option for all residents. As governor, he hasn't really discussed it. Craig says Wisconsin, with its progressive roots, once set the standard for the Democratic Party.
But it's interesting at this snapshot in time that, very unusual, you can't really find many times in recent Wisconsin history, I mean of the last century, where it looked like the National Democratic Party was well to the left of the state Democratic Party, as reflected by the office holders.
Craig says it's a different story this year, regardless of whether it's the moderate or the progressive at the top of the ticket. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And this is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.